Morning, everyone.
Morning, Colin.
It's certainly nice to be back here in Sterling. Most know who I am, but there's a few that might not. We attended here for quite a few years in Sterling, but we're now living back in Nova Scotia. My family and I come up here just a few times a year for work. This happens to be one of the times that I'm up here for the weekend, so I was glad that Kevin certainly reached out to me and said, if there's ever a Sunday you're here, let me know. And well, he made it happen, so here we are. So it's nice. It's certainly nice to be here. We got a lot of fond memories here in Sterling. My wife was baptized here. Is that still a tank? I'm assuming it is. You know, my oldest daughter was dedicated here, so there's a lot of good memories from Sterling. So it's certainly nice to be back. Just before we open the Word of God, let's just pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, we are thankful again for the words we've been singing about your love. Your love that was manifested in such a great way, and no greater way than which was shown at the cross of Calvary. What love was displayed there. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are thankful for this truth, and we enjoyed it this morning in our remembrance meeting, and we are thankful that we can continue today to sing hymns about your love for mankind, for us. And we just pray now as we open the Word of God that your Spirit will be very evident and present with us. And we again just give thanks for your Word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we just pray that we will gain some instruction, some enlightenment here today. And again, that the Spirit of God will direct us. We just give thanks again for your Son in his precious name. Amen. First place we're going to read this morning is Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I've never taken up these verses in this way before, but I trust that the Lord will help. And it's just certainly a few things that have been on my heart. So Matthew chapter 18, there's a little bit of a theme here. There's two words that are going to stand out. You can look for them. Where and there. And the five passages that we're going to read today, if we have time, we should. I'm not going to be real lengthy on each verse, but Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 20. Now, if we just for sake of context, let's go to verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, that they ask it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, I'm reading from the New King James, so perhaps your translation will be a little bit different. But here we have it, where and there. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, I grew up in Nova Scotia, as many know, and we went to a small gospel hall. And we were really linked with a lot of other small assemblies in rural Nova Scotia. And this verse, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, was always kind of over to the right side at the front of the hall or the front of the church, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Wonderful, wonderful truth. It's a wonderful verse. Where two or three are gathered together, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And it's a wonderful verse to think that the thought of a group of believers coming together in the name of the Lord, to remember the Lord, to have a testimony, a local testimony. But really, I think it's really only being applied, that verse, when we used it in that sense, in that setting, the thought of being gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, the context of this passage, when we look at it, it's the thought of people being at odds. It's the thought of strife. And that's really what the Lord is saying. He's encouraging. We can take that verse, Matthew chapter 11, or Matthew chapter 18 and 20, and apply it very well. It's a nice application, the thought of a group of believers coming together and the Lord saying, I'll be in there in your midst. But I think the thought of Matthew chapter 18, if you take it in the context, go back to verse number 15. What does it say? Moreover, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and tell him his faults. And that's really, you know, I don't want to dwell on this a lot today, because perhaps we all get along here, and perhaps we're just hunky-dory, is an expression we often use down east. I think we use it here as well. Perhaps everything is great, and that's wonderful. But all I want to just encourage you today, because I've had it in my experience too in the past, where there's been a slight little bit of a difference between me and another brother or another person, a fellow believer, and if you let it grow, it's just going to fester. It's going to fester, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. What is it we are encouraged to do here? To go to your brother if your brother sins against you. And so I would take that a step further. If someone has sinned against you and you feel they've done you wrong, go to them. Go to them. That's what the Word of God is saying. Go to them. Don't just ignore it. Don't let it fester and talk about it with other people. No, that's the worst thing you can do. That's what the devil wants. That's what the devil wants. To create division, to create strife, to be at odds. And I can tell you wholeheartedly, if that is happening, it's gonna stunt spiritual growth in a church. It's gonna stunt growth for you personally, individually. If you allow something to fester, if you allow something to grow, and the devil gets behind that with his force and encourages this thing that's really wrong, it's not going to be good for spiritual growth. It's going to disrupt unity and harmony. And so I just want to encourage you today. What does it say? If you do this, and then we could go down through it, we've read it today. It says, if you've been sinned against, or if someone has done you wrong, go and tell him his fault between you and him, alone. Don't be going and telling all these other people and getting all these other people involved. That's not what the Bible says. Go to that person. I know it's hard to do sometimes to build up that courage if you feel you've been wronged. To get the courage in your heart, in your soul, to go to somebody else. It's hard. It's difficult. It is difficult. But that's what the Bible wants us to do. If we want to see spiritual growth in our assembly and in ourselves individually, personally, that's what the Lord wants us to do. And then it goes down to say if he won't hear you eventually in the presence of other witnesses, take it this next to the next step. And then eventually, if that doesn't work, take it to the church. And it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. Basically, what's the Lord saying? That if in my name, and if you do it with the right motive and in the right attitude, that if you go to this person and you try to make things right, I'll be there. And I'll be there with all my force and all my encouragement for this thing to be made right. And that's what, but then it goes on to say about that if whatever's being bound on earth and loosed on earth as well, it's the thought of if that person then can be restored, if fellowship can be restored, that's really ultimately what the Lord wants. And I want to go to another passage. We're going to go to and just kind of tie this in. We're going to go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, just the thought of maintaining harmony and unity among believers and in the assembly. Let's go to James chapter 3. And verse 14. It's again, these two passages are just kind of tied in. And remember, we're using that word, the thought of where and there. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 14, we'll just, for sake of connection and context. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. The wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. Does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, or strife, in another translation, for where there is envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. There's our where and there again. Where there's envy, confusion and every evil work is there. You know, I want to just kind of keep in the thought of where two or three are gathered together and trying to maintain unity and harmony. By going to that person, if there's a problem, going to that person and trying to gain that person and trying to make things right. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And we'll just kind of take this now a little bit of a step further. Where there is envy, where there is jealousy, basically, confusion and every evil thing will be there. And you know what? That's again what the devil wants. That's what the devil wants. He doesn't want to see unity. He doesn't want to see harmony. He wants to see discord. He wants to see upheaval in an assembly and among the believers. That's what the devil's ultimate goal is, to disrupt harmony, to disrupt unity. And what does it say here? Where there is envy, there is confusion and every evil work, every evil thing. You know, I want to take us now back to a verse. I want to read a few verses just with the thought of harmony, just with the thought of let's just try to not have envy. You know, I know sometimes it's easy to have envy towards another person. It's easy to have jealousy. In an earthly sense, if we see somebody that's successful, when we see somebody that has got a nice car or nice possessions, nice material possessions, it's easy. I've done it myself many, many times. When you look at somebody that maybe is similar age to me, similar upbringing, similar opportunities in life, and they're seemingly doing much better than I am. It's easy to get jealous, isn't it? It's easy to get full of envy. But when it comes to the assembly, when it comes to the things of God, that God does not want to see that. He does not want that to happen. That's what the devil wants. But you know what? Sometimes maybe if you see someone that's more gifted than you in speaking, or maybe there's someone that's more gifted in singing, maybe there's someone that's more gifted in hospitality. There's many, many things, many gifts within a local church. And we see somebody else that's very good at whatever they do. It's easy to get jealous. It's easy to get envious, isn't it? No. What's it say? Where there is envy and self-seeking, what does it say? In verse 16, every evil work and confusion exists, or discord. And I just hope and I encourage you today not to let something come between you and another person. I would encourage you, if there's something that exists between you and another brother or another sister, another member of the body, go to that person. Try to gain that person to make things right. And let's just go, in keeping with this passage, the thought of envy, the thought of strife, the opposite of harmony. Let's just read Romans chapter 12. I thought this was a good verse to read today. Romans 12, verse 16. But be of the same, Romans 12, verse 16, but be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And I thought the word was harmony there, but I guess I don't have it. But in another translation, it does actually say harmony. Be of the same mind. That's the same idea. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. The thought of harmony. Maybe your translation does say harmony. But again, that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to be unified. He wants us to seek harmony in the things of God. And you know, one of the things that Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, it says, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Especially to those of fellow believers. You know what? That's what God wants. God wants to see harmony in the assembly. God wants to see harmony among the believers, among the Christians. And it says in Galatians chapter 6, do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. We have an obligation to be more kind, to be more patient, to be more understanding. Sometimes we look at people and we think, look at that person. They kind of rub you the wrong way. Naturally speaking, yeah, there are people that are going to rub us the wrong way. But you know what? What does it say in Galatians chapter 6? Do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. In Colossians chapter 3, it says we're supposed to forgive one another or bear one another's burdens and forbear what sometimes, there are things that might rub us the wrong way about another person, about another believer. But God wants harmony and unity in an assembly, and of us all to be united. Romans chapter 14, we're going to go over another chapter, and I want to read just one verse. I couldn't really mention it to you by memory today, but Romans chapter 14, verse 19, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another or build each other up. Build each other up or to edify one another. That's ultimately what God wants. And really, this whole passage here is to do with Paul when he said he wasn't going to eat meat if it was going to offend somebody else and cause them to stumble in their faith. He's like, I'll refrain. I won't do it. And sometimes we will do things deliberately to upset another person. Even if it's not scripturally wrong, sometimes I've seen it. I've probably done it in my lifetime many times where I've just,
oh well, I know that it's going to upset this brother, I know it's going to upset this sister, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. That's the wrong attitude. That's not a spiritual way of thinking at all. And Paul said, if meat partaking of meat is going to cause my brother or my sister to be offended or to stumble in their faith, I'm going to refrain from doing it. And that's what we need to do to maintain unity and to maintain harmony in a local church. And that's as it says in James chapter 3, in verse 16, where there's strife, where there's envy, where there's jealousy, there's discord. And we won't be blessed spiritually. You know, I also thought that in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that we are members of one body. Thought of body truth. The thought of the body truth. I remember when I broke my arm here a couple years ago. What do? Other parts of the body look out for that part of the body that's maimed or hurt. I couldn't do a lot of things with my right hand. I couldn't write. And I often think, when you think of body truth in the sense, in the spiritual body, and we are all of one body, Christ's body, the local church, and the universal church as well. We need to look out for one another, especially when there's a person that's hurting or a person that is down. We need to look out and reach out for that person. But just think in the physical sense, when I broke my arm, my other arm didn't say, like, come on, what's wrong with you, right arm? What's the matter with you? Aren't you used to being able to scratch your back on that side? Well, no, I had to try to do it with this arm because this arm couldn't do it. You got to look out. Other members of the body have to look out and help each other. And that's what we need to do as well for each other as fellow believers. Do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. We're going to move on. Let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Just if there's a problem, if there's something that exists, even if it's just a small thing today, if there's something that exists between you and another fellow believer, make it right. Go to that person. Gain that person. So that there's no envy, that there's no strife, that there's no animosity. But ultimately, as we read in Romans 16, that there will be harmony and unity in the things of God. We're going to go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And the verse I want is verse number 26. But let's just go up to verse number 23. Verse number 23, just excuse me one second. Verse number 23 of John 12 says, "But the hour," Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man must be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. If anyone serves me, let him follow me," verse 26, "and where I am," there's that thought then again of where and there, "where I am, there my servant will be also." The thought of service. You know, when I thought of this passage, what does that really mean? Where I am, there my servant will be also. And I think really, probably the meaning is somewhat twofold. When you think of back in biblical times, and the thought of a servant, and it's in a service to their master, a good servant was loyal to their master. And really, that master would basically look after that servant. A servant that was loyal, a servant that was going to go that extra mile, as it were, for his master, that master then would in turn look after that servant. Give him a great place that he would allow him to occupy, an important place in his life. And he would be looked after. He would be looked after for life. And his family would be looked after. Why? Because he was loyal. Because he was a loyal servant. Because he was willing to do, and to willing to serve, and to be obedient, and to be submissive, and to do the things that the master asked him to do. Well, you know, and what does it say? Where I am then, my servant will be also. My servant's going to be with me, and will be looked after. And wherever I go, wherever that master might go, wherever his life might take him, if that loyal servant who follows, that loyal servant who wants to serve in obedience, that servant will be there also. And you know, I think when we come to us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the great master, and we serve the best of masters today as believers, where I am, My servant will be there also. You know, when I think of the thought of a servant, we have no better example, do we, than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the best of servants. He is the best of masters, but he also became a servant first when he came to this world. He veiled his glory. Think of the pre-incarnate glory that he inhabited, that he possessed. He laid all that aside. He veiled his glory in heaven. We often hear to come to this world. What a thought to think he was that perfect example of a servant. And when I think of that one, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And that one, again, was that the one who during his 30-some-odd years of earthly ministry, to think of how he served, to think of how he was so compassionate and so tender and so loving and so willing to serve. The Son of Man, it says, he came not to serve, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And then in John chapter 17 and verse 5, when it says about the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Now, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had from before the world. Glorify me, that the hour has come. I have finished my work, which thou hast given me to do. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with you from before the world." That's what it says in John chapter 17. And you know what? For every true child of God that follows him, there it was right there in the verse that we read, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life, or he who basically doesn't make his life the priority, that's really what it's saying, who doesn't focus on self, will keep it for eternal life. If any man serves me, let him follow me. If we were to go to Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23, and the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was talking to his disciples, and he says, "If any man will follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me." To bear the burdens, to share in bearing the burdens, to take up their cross and to follow him. That's what it says in Luke chapter 9. And that's what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to follow him. He wants loyal, obedient servants to follow him. And what does it say? "Where I am, there shall also my servant be." Not only in this sense, in the earthly sense, in the sphere that we now share today, he's saying, "Where I am, my servant shall be also." The servant that follows me in loyalty, and the person that wants to take up his cross and follow me and be a true disciple of me, where I am, they will be with me together, unified in service. Matthew chapter 11, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." He wants us to be, as it were, a team in the yoke with him. To bear burdens, to share in triumphs, to experience lows, but to experience the highs. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants us to follow him. Let him deny himself. Basically, deny anything of self and selfish ambition. Take up his cross and follow me. What does it say? "Where I am, there shall also my servant be." But I also think it has a twofold meaning, I also think it's speaking of a future day. That where I am, there shall also my servant be. When he said in John chapter 17 and verse number 5, "Glorify me with the glory which I had from the world before," we're going to share in that glory. For the true child of God that is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and puts their life, as we were hearing today from Romans chapter 12, makes their bodies a living sacrifice unto God, they're going to share in that glory with the Lord Jesus Christ in a future day. In keeping with this, let's go now to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, again, the thought of where and there, and these two passages kind of tie in together as well. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and dust, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Here's the verse: "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are you investing in eternal spiritual things today, I ask you? in keeping with the thought of service. And as Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or worship. Are we putting our lives out on the altar for God? Are we kind of keeping something back? Are we holding back? And that's not what God wants. God wants all of what we have to offer. He wants our lives. He wants committed servants to serve and disciples to follow him. He wants us to take up his cross. And so as it says here in this verse, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, I want to take us to a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just the thought of investing in spiritual things, in investing in something that's going to last. You know, we think of things today that we invest in things, and we think they're going to be a good investment in an earthly sense, and they just fail, and they disappoint us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The thought of investing in eternal things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse number 12. Well, verse number 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. He's the one who is the chief cornerstone. And if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. That future day is coming, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of which sort it is. Are we putting wood, hay, straw on the altar for God? Is that what we're doing? Is it going to last if we are? Or are we putting on the altar gold, silver, and precious stone? I think you can figure it out just by me reading the passage. What God wants. What does God want? He wants us to lay up treasure in heaven. And we can only do that if we're putting the things that God wants, the gold, the silver, and the precious stone on the altar for him. And presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, as Romans chapter 12 says, he wants the best. He wants the best from us. And that's the gold, the silver, and the precious stone. And I just hope today that you will be encouraged. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, just a little bit later in that passage where we read about where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What is that? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's not just talking about now, the present, that all these things will be added unto you, that God will look after you. Well, yeah, he is going to look after us as the children of God. But there's going to be hardships. But all these things that are going to be added unto you, I think it's looking at a future day when all these things will be added unto us, added to us, and we're going to be rewarded and get our heavenly reward. You know, the Apostle Paul, in many places, I think of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, he said, this light affliction is but for a moment, and that it worketh in me a far greater eternal weight of glory. He wasn't looking at the things around him. He wasn't looking at the earthly things. He wasn't laying up treasure here on the earth. In fact, he wanted nothing to do that with that after he was converted. He was laying up treasure in heaven. He was putting things out on the altar for God that were going to last, that had spiritual value, the gold, the silver, the precious stone. And I hope that you are encouraged today. Where I am, there will also my servant be. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8 speaks of the crown of righteousness. It speaks of that crown of righteousness that the Lord's going to give to those that serve him. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul looked forward to that with great anticipation. Knowing as he looked back, he had no regrets. Knowing as he looked back on a life that was lived for God, and a life that was really, he poured out his life on the altar. He made his body a living sacrifice unto God. And as he looked back, he says, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. As I was pressing towards that high calling of God, I kept the faith. Therefore, now, there is a crown of righteousness that the Lord is going to reward me with. But the Apostle Paul, what did he put out on the altar? It was definitely gold, silver, and precious stones. To think of the things that he accomplished for God. What a spiritual warfare he led. And he could say at the end, I fought a good fight. I hope that we will all be able to say that. And today, if you're kind of caught up with the things of this world and material things and earthly possessions, I hope, you know, it's important. We've got to live. We got to have houses. We got to have automobiles. There's certain things that we like to have and go on vacations. Yeah, those are things that are important. But most of all, God wants our best. He wants us, you know what, just to prioritize. Those things kind of have their place in life, but he wants us to make it count for him. And as Paul said, to fight that good fight. 1 Samuel 3, verse 20, before I move on. They that honor me, I will honor. If you will honor God with your life and present your body a living sacrifice, he says that where I am, my servant will be also. Let's move to our last point, and we'll be done in time. Let's go to John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter 14. Again, our last where there. I hope you've been able to follow. John chapter 14, we'll read verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a comforting thought, isn't it? What a comforting thought. Where I am, there you may be also. This passage, this chapter, really is taking up when the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about them. He wasn't going to leave them comfortless. He wasn't going to leave them alone. That the Holy Spirit was going to descend upon the disciples, the followers, the believers. And he wasn't going to leave them comfortless. He wasn't going to leave them alone. Yes, I physically am going to go back to heaven, but the Holy Spirit is going to come. But what did he say? I'm not going to leave you in this way forever. There's a coming day when I'm going to come back. And where I am, I'm going to come back, and you can come to be in heaven with me. That where I am, there you may be also. What a comfort. You know, this world, it has its disappointments. I was sharing with Gerald and Linda, and I think Kim was there as well, about a recent disappointment of a very close loved one that I lost recently. And you know, life has its disappointments. Life has its ups and downs. It does. It has its disappointments. Things that we can't try to fathom why things happened that did. I recently lost a very close friend, and he was a man that was, he was the backbone of the local assembly, a local church that he was in, 48 years of age, father of five young kids. Just why would a man that really, he still had his best years ahead of him, as it were, for serving in the things of God, and yet he was taken at 48 years of age, suddenly. And you know, life has its ups and downs, but I'm so thankful that the last one is up. You know, my dad always used to say, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uppertaker. He says, I hope that I live long enough that I won't have to go by the way of death, that I'll be taken up, the rapture will take place in my lifetime, because I hope it happens. But the Lord Jesus has said in John chapter 14, for every true child of God, that where I am, there you may be also. We're going to share heaven with him. Think about that. That's overwhelming to me, to think that we're going to share heaven. Right after my friend died, I was talking to his brother, who was my brother-in-law, and he goes, Terry's in heaven. It just blew me away to think that Terry right now is enjoying the presence of the Lord Jesus. What a thought. What a thought. I think of Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of our great God and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm young. I got young kids. And I want to see them all born again and saved. But I can say that I'm looking forward to the Lord coming. I really am. I can't wait to see Jesus. Terry got a head start, we said the other day. Terry got a head start. He's in the presence of the Lord Jesus today. And you know, I try to think, what would it be like? What, you know, my imagination kind of runs wild sometimes. And I just thought, what has Terry said to the Lord Jesus so far? Wonder what he's talked to him about. Wonder what they've conversed about. Wonder what his first question to Jesus was. I don't know, what would my first question be to Jesus? I don't know. I still haven't really thought about it. But I wonder what Terry's first question was. To think that he's in heaven. To think that we're going to get to be in heaven. We didn't deserve the love of God. We didn't deserve the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this world and going to the cross. But he did, so that we could share heaven with him. And he is saying, where I am, there you may be also. I hope you're ready. You know, we read in the Word of God in Thessalonians about the rapture, the voice of the archangel is going to sound, the trump of God, and we which are alive and remain, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then what does it say? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It could happen today. The Lord could come back today. The Lord could return to the air today. Are you ready? Are you ready? I hope you are. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Because he says, where I am, there you may be also. But there's also that reality. For those that are not ready, they're not going to be there with him in the future day. There's another destiny that our Bible tells us about very often. And that's hell. For the person that's not born again, for the person that's not a child of God, they won't be there. They can't say this verse in truth, where I am, there you may be also. I hope today that if you're not saved, if you're not born again, that you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Put your trust in him, believe in him, rest on what he has done. And you know for sure as well that this verse will resonate and ring true for you, where I am, there you may be also. You know, I can't wait for to be in heaven. I really can't. You know, I know this world, I'm still young, but this world really, I've seen it all. It has nothing left to offer me. It really, really doesn't. But I can tell you, I've grown weary of this world. And the things that are happening, and you know, the legalizing of certain substances that I never thought I would see happen in my day, and certain things that are taking place. Where is this world going? Where is it going? But heaven. God's going to have control. He's sovereign. He's going to maintain authority and control in heaven. And these things that will never creep in, it's going to be perfect there. Think of it. Why would we want to be here when we think of what heaven's like? Why would we want to remain here? I just can't wait. If I could just hit the fast forward button and be in heaven, wouldn't it be wonderful? Let's just get started. Let's get this show started. You know, and get on with things and enjoy the presence of God and enjoy. And I don't even really know fully what heaven's like. We're not told a lot of what heaven's like, but I know enough that it's going to be wonderful. Where I am, there you may be also. We wait to see the morning star appearing in glory bright. This blessed hope illumines with beams most cheering these hours of night. These hours of night, these hours of darkness, these hours of pain, these days of pain and years of pain and sorrow are going to be removed soon, and we're going to be with him. Where I am, there you may be also. Looking for that blessed hope. I hope this morning you will be encouraged by these few passages. Just to recap, Matthew 18 and 20, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. The thought in James chapter 3, verse 16, where there is strife, there is envy. There is evil work. Where there is envy, there is evil work. John chapter 12, where I am, there shall also my servant be. Matthew chapter 6, 19, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then finally, John chapter 4 and verse 13, where I am, there ye may be also. I can't wait for heaven. And I hope that you are looking forward to it with as much anticipation as I am. I hope it's real to you. You know, the thought of heaven. The other day there, when my brother-in-law said that to me, he goes, Terry's in heaven. He's in heaven right now. Think of that. It stunned me. It just, the reality of losing someone that close, to think that, let's not be sad for Terry. Terry's in heaven. Sure, we need to express our condolences and sympathies to those that are remaining, the family that remains, yes. But let's not feel sorry for Terry one little bit. He's in heaven. He got a head start on us. Where I am, there you may be also. May God bless his word. Let's just pray. Are you coming up after we're done when I pray? Okay. Father, we give thanks to you again today for the word of God. We're thankful that we have something to look forward to as believers, heaven. Not just heaven, but when the new heavens and the new earth are ushered in after the millennial reign, to think of those new heavens and new earth that'll be ushered in. We are reminded in your word to think of what it's going to be like to be with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one who gave his life for us so that we could be ransomed, so that we could be rescued, and say that we are numbered among the redeemed, and that we're going to be, if the rapture does take place in our lifetime, we're going to be caught up. We're going to be caught up in the air to meet him. What a thought. What a thought. And so we just pray today that if there's someone here that is still unsure of heaven, unsure of their eternal destiny, we pray today that they will get it figured out. They will get the root of the matter settled, and that they will come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks again for your word, and we pray that you will bless us now as we leave and go to our homes. Be with us this week, we pray. And we think there's a list there that we were viewing today of those that are in need of prayer. We just pray that you will draw near. You know the list. You know the names. You know the circumstances better than we do. And so we just leave everything in your very capable hands, knowing that you are sovereign and over all. We give thanks again for your word. In your son's precious name, amen. Thanks again.